Good morning. Hope you are well and hope you have recovered from the storm last weekend and through Sunday and Monday. We had a very interesting situation with the cyclone knocking out the power in our area for several days. And by Monday, the power was restored to our road, but all the houses on our shared driveway were still without power until Tuesday evening. And the thing was, there was power available to us. It went halfway up our driveway. We just needed a serviceman to come and reset two circuit breakers on the power pole, and then we'd all have it in our homes. So we were told by somebody in the know that what we had to do at this point was call up the power company and ask, and keep on asking. I'm going to speak this morning and continue preaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to look at how we may receive the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because I wonder if a significant key we need in receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled and refilled by the Holy Spirit lies in the way we have been asking. So let's open our Bibles now to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be starting from verse 5. Luke chapter 11. And Father, as we turn to your holy word this morning, Father, I pray that our eyes would be enlightened to the significant portions of Scripture that talk about the asking and the way that we are to ask for the baptism, for the filling, and for the refilling of the Holy Spirit, so that, Lord, that we would align ourselves to the way that you have set forth, so that we would set to the right conditions in our heart, so that we would receive or we would re-receive, Lord, subsequent fillings, Lord, of your precious Holy Spirit, so that we would be faithful stewards, Father, that we would be faithful ministers of the work that you have set before each of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 5, and it's Jesus speaking. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is shut now, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So just to recap quickly where we are at. In the first message I preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we saw that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate occurrence to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling happens, indeed it must happen, at our conversion. I explained that when we are physically born into this world, we are dead in our sin, and therefore we are dead to God. We do not have the Spirit of God in us. When we are born again, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that brings spiritual life to us. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 14, that for all who come to him and drink, a singular spring of water will well up in them, leading to life. And Jesus later says in John chapter 7, verse 38, that those who believe in him will receive plural rivers of water, which Scripture says is the promise of the Father. And he makes that distinction, the indwelling and then the baptism or the promise of the Father. Jesus' disciples received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, verse 22, when Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He then instructs those same disciples to wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost, when they are baptized in the Spirit. It is then that they receive the subsequent promise of the Holy Spirit. We saw that it is for every believer and each and every one of God's children. And we saw how it primarily enables God's children to be empowered to be effective witnesses for Jesus, clothed with power and authority from on high. So this morning, if we believe that there is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and if we carry the conviction that it is a separate occurrence and it is for us and for today, then we need to closely examine how the baptism in the Holy Spirit can be received. And the good thing is, to examine this, we needn't go further than Scripture, because the Word is very clear. The Word of God answers this question very plainly, with no room for doubt or confusion. In fact, from Scripture, there is, it seems, a pathway that anyone can take. And not only that, they can take it with the absolute certainty of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit, so long as the conditions set out by the Lord are met. Now, this might seem excessively certain, but then the Word of God is certain about the outcome of meeting these conditions, which are clearly laid out for us each to follow. Now, the verse from which I have seven conditions, the verse from which these seven conditions are stated or clearly implied, come from Acts 2, verse 38, which says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So the first three conditions are in this verse. The others are implied, and we will see them brought out by these other passages that we're also going to look at this morning. So the first one, condition one. The first two conditions are found in the word repent. What does repent mean? Firstly, it means to change your mind. Well, change your mind about what? About God, about Jesus, and about sin. So that the what we are to change our mind about in any given case is determined by context. And the context here relates to a change in mind about Jesus. The Apostle Peter has just brought the awful charge against his hearers that Jesus is Messiah, whom God made both Lord and Christ, and whom they just crucified. So cut to their heart by this charge and delivered home by the power and authority of the Holy Spirit, the people cried out, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Repent is Peter's answer. Change your mind about Christ. Change from a Christ-denying, a Christ-crucifying attitude of mind to a Christ-believing and a Christ-accepting attitude of mind. Believe Jesus is both Lord and Christ. That is the first condition in receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Be convicted, be convinced in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and he is Lord. Now, to be Lord, he must be Lord of everything. He must be our everything, our provider, our protector, our healer, our helper, our teacher, our guide. Condition two. The second condition, as I mentioned, is also found in the word repent. While the context first relates to Jesus and the call to change the mind about who Jesus is, it follows that there must also be a change of mind from a sin-loving, a sin-indulging attitude to a sin-hating and a sin-renouncing attitude. So this is the second step, the second condition. Renounce sin, all sin, every sin. And I got to ask, could it be that this is our stumbling block to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Is there something in our heart, a conviction that something in us is not pleasing to God? If we are to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there must be a very honest and a very thorough heart searching. And I want to say, we cannot do this for ourselves. We must ask God to do it for us. If we wish to receive the blessing of the promise, we ought to go alone with God and ask Him to search us thoroughly and ask Him to bring to light anything that is displeasing to Him. As David cried out in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." If something displeasing is revealed, then we deal with it at once. Confession, asking for forgiveness, and then leaving it, forsaking it. If, after genuinely seeking the Lord and after honest waiting, nothing is brought to light, then we can know that if this condition too is met, we can move forward, we can advance on. But I think we need to be really careful here. The sin that might be stopping us from receiving the promise might look small and insignificant. So don't be deceived. I want to recount, there was a story of a woman in the 1800s, a young woman deeply desiring the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And she was agonizing night after night in prayer, but still she had not received it. And one night, she became aware of some jewelry in her hair that she had sometimes wondered about. And so she removed the pins, took off the jewelry, and immediately she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Who would have thought that something so small as a piece of jewelry might prevent the condition being met? Yet clearly, it was the circuit breaker between her and the Lord that needed her attention. Once she had met the condition and removed what was displeasing to the Lord, this thing that had a hold on her life was gone, and she received the baptism. So, does something have a hold in your life? Is there a hold? Is there an unholy habit or an addiction in our lives that we know exists, but we have yet to deal with it? If we have this, and if we've been struggling to lay this down, then we may ask the Lord to help us lay it down for us. We know from His word, and we ought to know from our past experiences, that He is faithful. He is so true. He is for us. He's not against us. So if we ask, He will grant us this petition and set us free. And it doesn't really matter how small the issue may seem. If we have any questions regarding this matter, it must be dealt with in God if we are to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't let your mind try to convince you it is a trifling thing, it is a minor thing. If the Holy Spirit has brought it to remembrance, if the Holy Spirit has brought this up, let us take this issue before the Lord and see what we must do. So the second condition in receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to put away It is to deal with every sin. The third condition is also found in our text. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness or the remission, the removal of your sins. Be baptized. In Luke 3, verses 21 and 22, we see it was immediately after Jesus' baptism that the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And although sinless, Jesus humbles himself to take the sinner's place, and God then exalts him by giving of the Holy Spirit. And he affirms this act, not only with the form of a dove, but with the audible testimony, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." So, Jesus humbled himself and was water baptized. And we need to humble ourselves, confess our sin, renounce it, and we need to publicly declare Jesus as our Savior, and do this in the Lord's ordained way by being water baptized. See, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not for the person who comes in to the Lord, sort of secretly sidles up to the Lord, but for the person who comes openly and publicly like Jesus did, and who can openly and publicly declare that Jesus is Lord in their lives. So, if you are a believer but have not yet been baptized in water by full immersion, then I do not think it's reasonable to believe that the Lord will baptize you in the Holy Spirit while you remain disobedient to his word and his will. Which leads to the next condition, condition 4. Now, while obedience is implied in Acts 2, verse 38, it is seen more clearly in Acts 5, verse 32, which speaks about the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Again, we see it as the separate occurrence. We receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit automatically at our rebirth, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is given to those who obey him. So the fourth condition is obedience. What does obedience mean? Does it mean just doing some of the things, or many of the things, or even most of the things that God instructs us to do? No, it means total surrender to the will of God. Obedience starts with the repentant heart that says, "Not my will, but yours be done." And it continues with, "Here I am, and all that I have. Jesus, you bought me with a price, and I acknowledge your absolute ownership. Take me and all that I have, and do with me whatever you will. Lord, send me where you will. Use me as you will. I surrender myself and all I possess absolutely, unconditionally to you. You are my Lord, and I want to be used for you and for your glory." In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, we read, "And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." It was only when the offering was laid on the altar, whole, entire, with no part held back, that fire then came from the Lord. And it was then that the offering was accepted. It was then that he accepted the gift. And I wonder if it is perhaps at this point that we discover a condition in us that is not being met. In our lives, we may find that there is not a total surrender. Our complete will is not laid down. He is the Lord in some areas, but in others, we may still find ourselves afraid to lay down all of our will. Our heart is yet to be fully yielded to the Lord. See, for us to be filled, we first must empty ourselves. And we must empty ourselves of all of our will and be fully yielded to the Lord. And this condition requires the Lord's will in every way and at every level. And many times we can hold back from total surrender because we fear what may God do with us. We may feel that as soon as we surrender, he's going to humiliate us, or perhaps finally expose us, or have us involved in some unpleasant and undignified word. So I find it helpful to remember that he is our loving Heavenly Father. He loves us more than any earthly father has ever loved his son. And Psalm 84 verse 11 says, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." So for those who walk uprightly before the Lord, there's nothing to fear in God's will. And his will always prove to be the best and sweetest thing in all the world. So the fourth condition is full and total obedience. Condition five. The fifth condition comes from Luke 11 verse 13. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Simple, isn't it? We must ask. That is why it is important that we see the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is automatic at our rebirth, to be a separate occurrence from the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we see in Scripture. And we see from Scripture that we are specifically told to ask for. It is a specific asking for a specific event and a specific promise. So when faith has come to believe in and on Jesus as Savior and Lord, and we confess and demonstrated this through our water baptism, when sin has been dealt with and when there has been a definite, full, complete and surrender of the will, then comes the simple condition of us asking Jesus for this blessing. So condition five, plain and simple, we must believe and ask in prayer to receive it. And we'll look at this prayer closely more in the seventh condition. Condition six, the sixth condition, comes also from Luke 11 verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit again to those who ask him? This asking that Jesus speaks of comes from an intense and real desire. When we look at Luke 11, 13 in proper context, we see that this asking and receiving is a directive and almost forceful thing. In Luke 11 verse 8, Jesus points out that it is not because of your relationship with your neighbor that you get what you ask for. It is because of your impudence or persistence that your friend will give you the bread. It's not because of who you are, but because you ask and keep asking. Luke 11 verse 9 onward says from a combination of the ESV and the Amplified Bibles, "Because of your impudence, insistence, and boldness, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives." The word translated receive can have a couple of different meanings, depending on which Greek word it was translated from. In some places, the word translated receive is passive. For example, in Acts 2 verse 41 says, So those who received his word were baptized. And 2 Corinthians 6:1 speaking of receiving of God's grace. And here the Greek word is dekomai. And it is a humble receiving of something. And in this case, it's the humble receiving of God's unmerited favor. Now, the word translated receive in Luke 11, verse 10 is from the Greek lambano. Lambano means to take, to get hold of, obtain, acquire, and seize something with a sense of desperation. In this verse, it is active, and it implies a degree of forceful persistence. In the Classic Amplified Bible, Luke 11 verse 10 is rendered shameless persistence and insistence. Shameless persistence and insistence. And the example Jesus gives us demonstrates this desperation with a man knocking on the door of his, knocking on his friend's door, and he's desperate, and his friend has something that he needs. And it's because of his shameless persistence that he receives what he requires so that he might feed and also serve another person. So in the context of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we see the word translated received is again from the Greek lambano. We see it in Luke 11 verse 10. For everyone who asks receives. And we see it in Acts 2 verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we also see it in Acts 8 verses 14 to 15. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received, now that's Deacomai, received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive, Labano, the Holy Spirit. And in verse 18, then they laid their hands on them, and they received, Labano, the Holy Spirit. Jesus has shown us in Luke 11 verse 10 that this isn't a casual, hesitant or tentative asking to receive the blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is an asking that comes from an intense desire. And I've got to ask, have we ever asked for the baptism in the Holy Spirit or for his refilling in this way? Yet, that's exactly how Jesus says that we need to ask. And it is something we can expect through faith to receive. Lambano. God foretells of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and he calls it his blessing in Isaiah 43, verse 3. And the condition for which he will pour out his Spirit upon those is for those who thirst. When you are truly thirsty, when a person is in deep thirst, then the whole body, the whole soul cries out, water. So it is when we cry from the very heart for the rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit that God pours rivers upon that dry ground. So this is the sixth condition, an intense desire for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Condition seven, Mark 11, verse 24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, Labano, and it will be yours. Now that's a very encouraging and positive promise. And we find that God's most positive and unreserved promises have to be appropriated by faith. For example, in James 1, verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So if we lack wisdom, ask and it will be given liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding. Ask and we receive. Lambano. Now listen to what God's word says next in James 1 verse 6. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, and no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown here and there and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive, lambano, anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, or decides. For the person who asks without faith or without choosing to believe, for the person who hesitates and doubts, Scripture says that such a person shouldn't think that he will receive anything. So to ask for the blessing of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we must ask with faith and with a single-mindedness. To receive the promises of God, there needs to be faith that what we are asking for is in the will of God and is in accordance with Scriptures, and as such will be given to those who ask. As his children, God gives us the faith, but then we need to appropriate it, lay hold of it, and then exercise it by choosing to believe that as we ask, he will give. And we ask, Scripture instructs us, as though we have already received. Lambano. You see, the faith that is required is the faith that comes from God. It's not something that we just conjure up as a feeling. It's not a dubious, half-hearted desire coming from our emotions. Well, that would be nice to have. And it's not the sort of thing that we hesitantly put out our hand in a way that we just might possibly receive such a blessing. It is much more. Jesus says in Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It says that if you believe that you have already received what you've asked for, then you shall receive them. In 1 John 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And the Amplified Bible says that we have granted to us as our present possessions the requests made of him. When we pray anything of God, we first must know the mind of Christ. So in this regard, we must ask, is this prayer according to God's will? And the answer is, because Acts 2 verse 39 says it is the promise of the Father. And Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 13, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the very thing we can ask the Father for. Therefore, we can know that our prayer is heard. And furthermore, we can know that I have the request which I have asked of him. So what I have asked for, I can receive and appropriate in a simple childlike faith in his word. And as such, I will receive an actual experience. When you purchase something online, such as through Trade Me, you click the Buy Now button. Now, if you have met the terms and all the conditions, then legally that item becomes yours, even though there can sometimes be a delay, especially at the moment with the slow shipping, before we receive it. And I think that we can rightly apply this principle to receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit to ourselves. If we have met the conditions for obtaining the blessing that we have discussed so far this morning, if we simply yet specifically ask God the Father for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if we know that we have prayed this and what we have prayed is according to His will, then how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It is clear that prayer for this is according to His will. Therefore, we can know by faith that our prayer is heard, and that we can have the petition for which we've asked for, especially the promise of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We therefore have the right to come away from our prayers and say by faith, I have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then afterwards at some point, and in His timing, we will have the experiential knowledge of what we have received, lambano, by simple faith. If Jesus is our Lord and Saviour, and He has been openly confessed as such, if sin has been searched out and dealt with, if there has been a full surrender of the will and of self to God, if there has been a true desire, a thirst to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for Jesus' glory and for His purposes, if these conditions have been met, then any person hearing this may ask God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And after that, any of us can say, my prayer has been heard. I already have what I have asked for. I have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We may not hear a mighty rushing like wind. There may not be a choir of angels and a chorus of trumpets. We may not break out in tongues and in new languages. However, we may by faith know that our prayers have been heard, and He is faithful to give what we need when we need it for the ministry before us all. Through the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we can have the confidence to go forth in His power and in His anointing to do the work which He has appointed to us, clothed in power from on high, and in the power and in the authority of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think this is presumption. The Lord's word clearly states that we need to ask for this blessing. And if all the conditions of the blessing have been met, then we will receive the promise in whatever way He chooses, in whatever fashion and whatever form He decides. So, on the basis of that, I want to ask several questions that I believe we must settle within our hearts this morning. Firstly, I want to ask, do you believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate occurrence to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? If you do believe that it is a separate experience, do you know that you have received it? Do you even want to receive the fullness of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And if not, why not? Is there a hold in your life that you don't want to let go? Is there an issue between you and the Lord that you are not yet ready to surrender to Him? Is it that you're content with just the indwelling? And so long as we think we don't need it, and we think we can get along with the indwelling alone, then we'll never ask from the place of intense desire that leads to the blessing of the baptism. I want to restate, the issue of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is as big an issue to the believer as salvation is to the non-believer. That is, the biggest issue those who are not yet born again must face is that of salvation. To those who are born again, the biggest issue we must face is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You may not agree with me, and I accept that that might be the case, but fortunately our salvation doesn't depend upon this. But I do say this again, because if a person who is not born again comes inquiring to the Lord in a half-hearted, not really committed way, and hesitantly asks to be born again and forgiven sin, and what do you think is going to be their outcome? Do you think the Lord is going to hear their prayers? And so I'm concerned that if we only come to the Lord asking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we have seen is biblical, but come in a half-hearted, not really committed fashion, and hesitantly ask for this, then, as Jesus is plainly telling us, we will not receive this just because of who we are, that is, a born-again child of God. He says that he will grant the blessing of the Holy Spirit to those who shamelessly, purposefully, and persistently ask. And he will clothe those who see their nakedness, and he will empower those who see their weakness, and he will equip those who see their need. He will pour out his blessings to those who desperately ask with this intense, persistent, shameless asking. And they will receive this blessing, and he will be glorified. And I don't want anyone here to miss the fullness of what God has for them, simply because they are unwilling to admit that there has been lack. And while it may not be an easy thing to confess, the humility required for making such a profession is often the very precursor needed to ask with the persistence that Jesus speaks of. So it is my hope that all of us in the body of Christ, despite perhaps our previous attempts to dress in fig leaves, we will be those who see our need and who will admit our nakedness and would desire to be clothed with power from on high. Jesus is not glorified by our fig leaves. He will not be glorified by a weak and powerless church clothed in a covering of our own making. Jesus is glorified by his children when they ask for and receive the promise and are clothed and empowered from on high. And it is his desire that every child should be dressed this way. And he sets it forth in his word that this comes through shameless, persistent asking with a desire like a thirst. So, if you have this thirst to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you do carry this conviction, then take this matter for yourself before the Lord. Look up the scriptures for yourself, and then ask the Lord to receive it. And if you are aware of your great need to be refilled, you've in a time past had and experienced the blessing of the baptism on the Holy Spirit, and you desire and you see your great need to be refilled, and it is your conviction today that you can and should receive this blessing, then please let me urge you, go before our Lord Jesus now. Bow before your precious Saviour and ask him to baptize you or refill you in the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name.